time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hi, this is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you grow and thrive no matter what life throws your way. My name is Lee Bockham. I am a full-time thriveologist, but I am only a part-time thriver. What I mean by that is that every day I'm studying how to thrive, how to be a better person, how to grow, and how to change, and how to help others do the same thing. At the same time, I always find myself lagging a bit behind. So part of what I'm doing all the time is trying to apply what I learned to my own life. Today is no exception. And today I was reflecting on when I was teaching a conference. I was leading a small group in a conference, and about halfway through, we had taken a break, and some of the things I'd said I think were challenging to some people who were there. And a person came up to me and looked at me square in the face and just with outrage said, "Go take a leap," turned around and walked out of the room. I sat there for a minute and thought about what that felt like to hear it, and then I thought to myself, you know what, that's pretty good advice. I need to go take a leap. I need to learn how to harness fear, not just let the fear run around me, but how to harness that. There's a pretty simple quote that I try to live by, and that is that action breeds confidence while inaction feeds fear. What I mean by that is a lot of times when we feel like we need to do something, when we need to take action, when we wait, when we allow the inaction to come in, the fear is what stops us. And so when I find myself at my best, it's when I'm taking those leaps, when I'm really deciding to take action before I can get paralyzed by the fear. Jason Comely has this little formula for this. He says that fear equals thinking plus time. Fear equals thinking plus time. You can think of that as F equals T plus T. Fear equals thinking plus time. If you take either of those other pieces away, thinking or time, the fear goes away. If you think about that, it doesn't matter how long something's going on. If you're not thinking about something, you're not fearful. The other piece is if you don't have time, you know, you're just responding, the fear goes away. You take away the time, you take away the thinking, whatever is left is not fear. But if you have time to think about it, you're going to feel that fear. Jason found this out because he realized that he had this fear of rejection, that he kept being fearful of waiting for that rejection. You know, the longer he had to kind of wait around, the more he felt it. And so he decided that he was going to take on a project, and he called it rejection therapy. He was going to go out and get himself rejected over and over and over in lots of different ways. It wasn't just about dating or anything else. He would just go out. And so I think the first thing he did is he walked out and he asked someone for a ride across town that he didn't even know. Just walked out on the street, asked someone for a ride. They thought he was crazy, and they said, "No way, I'm not going to take you for a ride." Well, now he had experienced his greatest fear. And so he went to the next thing, and he kept finding ways of getting himself rejected. And so he was practicing the rejection, the failure of that, and realizing that it really wasn't a failure, that all he was doing was trying things out. And instead of rejection, what he found is a lot of times people said yes. Some people were fine going out on a date or taking him across town or helping him with an errand or other kinds of things that he put out there. And so what he realized was it wasn't really about rejection, right? It was about the fear of rejection that was getting him stuck. And so he created a whole way of going about that. If you want to look it up, look up the set of cards for rejection therapy, and you can actually try that out. You can go and get those cards and read what's on it and go and set yourself up for rejection to work through that. That's what Jason did, because he realized that he had to break that cycle. He had to figure out either how to deal with the thinking or the time, and so he practiced the thinking. He kept practicing that rejection until it was no longer any big deal. If you're familiar with Jack Canfield, I'm a big fan of Jack, and he wrote a book called Success Principles. If you don't have that book, it's a great book to get, because Jack has pulled together a lot of thoughts and beliefs from other people and made it his own. And one of the things he says is in that chapter is, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And what he means by that is when you don't ask for something, the default is no. So you have nothing to lose. You know, if you're thinking about this great idea, you have only everything to gain by taking some action. If you're thinking about trying something out, you have only everything to gain by asking. If you're wanting to try something, to ask someone for something, the default is no. A while back, I really was wanting to interview an author, and this author was known for not giving too many interviews. And so, you know, what I basically decided was if I didn't ask, you know, I was already at no anyway. So I had nothing to lose. And so I asked the author, and sure enough, the author was willing to talk with me, and we had an interesting conversation because I decided that I was already at no. And so, you know, if I was afraid to ask because I might hear no, well, I was already there. I had nothing left, and so I might as well step in and give it a shot. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make around fear is that we believe that fear is a warning system. We believe it's our friend. And what I believe is that fear is not a friend at all. Friend is really just an importance detector. Fear is a way our body lets us know that something is important. The problem is, when we make fear our friend, we make it as an avoidance detector rather than an importance detector. When we treat fear as an importance detector, it's always telling us that there's something important about this. There's something there for us. It's not to avoid it, but to recognize that it's important. I kind of think about this working in several ways. One is that fear sometimes points us to important things, a way about how to stay safe. For example, you know, when I go trail running, one of the things I'm looking for are things that might hurt me along the way. And there was one day when I was running around on the trail, and I crossed a curve. And as I came around the curve, there this curvy thing was on the path. I came to a sudden stop. And the reason I came to a sudden stop is because I wasn't sure if it was a snake or not. Now, I happen to live in an area that we do have some poisonous snakes, and the last thing I wanted to do when I was pretty remote on a trail was to jump over a snake thinking it was a stick, only to find that the snake sunk its fangs into my ankle. So I quickly came to a stop. After I came to a stop, the fear that was stopping me let me calm down for a moment to look at it and realize it was just a stick. It was not a snake, and there was nothing to be fearful of. But because it was important to stay safe, my fear mechanism went off. My fear detector went off. My importance detector said, hey, there's something important here. So I came to a stop. Had it been a snake, it would have been a matter of avoiding it. But that's not what's true all the time. Sometimes fear is telling us that it's important to move forward. For instance, let's say you're in a room, you're single, you want to start a family, you want to find someone to be in love with, someone to share your life with, and you look across the room and you see this really attractive person and you would love to get to know them. At that point, the fear can kick in and you can say, oh no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to cross over and ask that person and get to know that person. But if we use it as an importance detector, then we realize, because put yourself in the same scenario, but you really look across the room and see someone that you're not interested in. You know, there's nothing about that person that makes you want to think about them romantically. It's not a big deal. It's not a person that gets you really excited. There's no fear, right? You could walk over and say, hey, I'm here. I hope you're having a good time. And then there's no fear about it because the level of importance has now dropped. So sometimes all the fear is doing is letting us know that this is something important to notice, because if we want to move forward, it's important to notice this, the difference between someone we might want to spend the rest of our lives with and somebody who is just another person at that party are hugely different. And so in that case, the fear is just pointing to the fact that it's important to move forward, important to really move towards that person. Or how about this? Sometimes fear is an important detector about moving higher, to go higher in life, maybe to take yourself to the next level, maybe to take your career to the next level, your relationship to the next level. And so sometimes, for instance, there's a job possibility and you're fearful about even applying for it because what if you got turned down? But what's really going on is the fear importance detector is going off and saying, wow, you know, it would really be painful because that's really something I would want to do to go for. But if I don't step up to it, It's already no. I've already lost out on that job. I've already given up the option of that possibility. Or how about a training option? You decide maybe you want to go back to school and get some more training, but it's so fearful and you start thinking of all the possibilities. You start thinking about how hard it would be on the family, the finances of that, the difficulties of getting the, maybe you don't even have confidence that you could do the schoolwork anymore. A few years back, I had the opportunity of being an adjunct professor for a university and teach a class in family work, family systems theory. And it was a great class. We met in the evenings. We started meeting at 6 o'clock in the evening. We met till 10 o'clock in the evening, one day a week. Everybody in there was an alternative student, meaning they weren't the mainstream. They were in this graduate program, but they hadn't come straight from college. Some of them had even struggled through night school to get through college. All of them had stories, and one of the things I love to do during break is to hear their stories of how they got there, how they arrived in this graduate program that met at night, that made them find alternate arrangements. One person had to find some help as a single dad, he was raising a child on his own, and he had to find some help to watch his child so he could get that graduate degree and move forward. And the other piece of the story was all of them telling me how terrified they were when they applied into the program, terrified that they wouldn't be able to do the work, terrified that they wouldn't be able to work out the details, terrified that they wouldn't be able to finance that. There's so many fears about that. But what I knew was there were lots of other people who had the same fears of stepping into that program but chose not to. And the reason they chose not to was because they thought the fear was telling them to avoid it, to be careful, to not step into that, not take a risk, not try to figure out the details. The people I was in that room with had decided that the fear was an importance detector. They had stepped into how important it was for them to find a new place in life, an important place in life, a place that brought them new meaning and purpose. And because of that, they fought through their fear. They found ways to deal with that. They sat down, and as we worked through the quarter of work that they had to do, the papers they had to write, sometimes I had to sit with them and talk about how to do that research and how to write it up and how to proofread it and how to edit it, because they didn't have the skills. And that was what had stopped them early on. But I also knew this, they could gain the skills. And that's where somebody who uses fear as an importance detector knows that if it's important enough, they'll find a way. Viktor Frankl says, the person who has a why will find the how. A person who has the reason, the purpose, the depth of reason to get there will find a way to do it. We'll find a way through that. Lately, I've been watching the entrepreneurs who are changing the world. And they're changing the world with big ideas that are very simple. Some of them are dirt simple. The example the other day I was watching is as a group of engineers had developed a way of taking a pop bottle, you know, a 2-liter bottle of emptied from Coke, and turning it into a skylight for people who were in darkened hovels of houses. And what that did for the family, when they cut that hole and put that water and bleach-filled bottle in and sealed it up, is it lit up that house. So suddenly it was possible for them to not be burning a candle, which would have led to more respiratory issues. It led them to greater possibilities of learning for the kids because the kids were able to do that. But what it required is somebody to step up and say, hey, I've got this idea and I can make it work and we can take this into the world. To allow their concerns about developing that to not hold them back, but to see it as an important thing. When this big ideas come to the world, to entrepreneurs and to other people, the ones who grab them and say, I'm not going to allow my fear to hold me back, I'm going to see this idea through to the end, are the ones who make a difference, who make an impact in the world. We all have ideas. We all have thoughts. But a lot of times we allow fear to be the avoidance detector. So decide today that fear is your importance detector, that sometimes it's going to be warning you that you need to be safe, you need to avoid something in order to keep yourself safe. But be careful that sometimes it's telling you about things that are important to move forward or important to move higher, not just important to stay safe. Sometimes we let the fear signals stop us. We let the fear signals keep us from moving forward because we assume that fear is always telling us that we're unsafe, telling us that we need to avoid something. But remember Jack Canfield's advice. Whatever you want, if you don't ask for it, you're already at no. All you have to do is risk staying at no or gaining something greater. Fear equals thinking plus time. Decide to control one or the other, and then you learn this, that action is what makes the difference. Action breeds confidence. Inaction feeds fear. Take action today. Find out what's important to you. Focus in on it and use fear as the importance detector. If this has been helpful for you, I would love it if you would help me share the word about this. One way you can do that easily if you're on Twitter is simply to write into your browser, Thrivology.com/love. That's Thrivology.com/love. That will give you a chance to send out a tweet letting people know how to find this. If you want to subscribe to this on iTunes, the easiest way to do that is type in your browser, Thrivology.com/iTunes, and that will take you right to the subscription page if you're on an iOS device, an iPhone or an iPad. And if you're on an Android device, you can do the same with Stitcher. And the easiest way to get there is to go to Thrivology.com/Stitcher. Now I'm going to ask for one more help from you. If you want this to be around, if you want to help support this, I would love it. This is kind of like an NPR radio drive where, you know, if you support us, that's great. We would love to have you join with us, have some skin in the game. If not, that's great. We'll still be here for you. You can still listen. But if you want to support us, just to the right, there's a cube that says support Thrivology, and it takes you to my Patreon page. The other way to get there is to go to Thrivology.com/support and decide if you want to give $1, $2, $3, whatever per episode or even per month. And that would help us support this so we can bring you more and more ways to thrive in your life. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you live a thriving life.
Listening to the Thrivology podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thrivology.com or at ThrivologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thrivology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.